And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the sound of the Liberty Bell. This year, we celebrate the 175th anniversary of its ringing, and this year, American men and women rededicate themselves to the doctrine inscribed on the Great Bell, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. This month, the Eternal Light dedicates its programs to the American heritage of liberty, which is our common challenge. Our drama today is Morton Wishengrad's Thomas Kennedy.
Blessed art thou, O Lord, who has kept us in life and sustained us unto this day. A prayer of thanksgiving. Offer thanksgiving on this day for the uniqueness of America. Offer thanksgiving for the nameless heroes who took the words of the fine declarations and believed them and fought to make the word a deed. Offer thanksgiving to the memory of men who were not ashamed to be good, who sought no refuge in cynicism, who did not fear to stand alone. Listen, this is your story. 1818, the House of Delegates, Annapolis, Maryland, the Clerk of the House.
Mr. Speaker, I have the credentials of the elected member from Washington County.
Are they in order, Mr. Clerk?
They are, Mr. Speaker.
His name, if you please?
The Honorable Thomas Kennedy.
Come forward, Mr. Kennedy, and take the oath.
Do you, Thomas Kennedy, solemnly swear or affirm that you will protect and defend the Constitution of the State of Maryland?
I do.
Upon the true faith of a Christian?
Complete the oath, Mr. Kennedy.
I should like to, Mr. Speaker, but I'm rather troubled by the form of the oath.
I was not aware that there is anything in the oath to cause difficulty. Mr. Clerk, are you troubled?
Not at all, Mr. Speaker.
Proceed then. Unless Mr. Kennedy is not a Christian.
Mr. Speaker, I was born in Scotland. The sect in which I was bred is the Presbyterian Church. I have no doubt a person may get to heaven that way.
We are gratified to hear you say that, Mr. Kennedy, but let us get on with the oath, shall we?
Mr. Speaker, Article 6 of the Constitution declares, no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any public office or public trust under the United States.
Well, you are asked to uphold the Constitution of the State of Maryland. I might inform the gentleman from Washington County that the Constitution of Maryland is older than the Constitution of the United States.
Sir, this oath of office makes it impossible for citizens who are not Christian to be seated here.
Mr. Kennedy, I was not aware that Jews and Mohammedans are numerous in your constituency.
Sir, is it the custom of this body to insult new delegates?
Well, not at all, Mr. Kennedy. I was merely making an observation.
There is not a single Jew resident in Washington County. In fact, I have not met a single Jew in Maryland.
Then in heaven's name, take the oath and be done.
Exactly, Mr. Kennedy. Take the oath and be done.
I cannot, Mr. Speaker.
Why not?
because I am an American and a Christian. Article 6, Mr. Speaker, of the United States Constitution. Chapter 25, verse 10 of the third book of the Bible. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land, unto all the inhabitants thereof.
Mr. Kennedy, I ask you again, do you swear to the oath?
You ask me to hold my hand on the Bible that declares the oath to be false and injurious.
Mr. Clerk, you will proceed with the next order of business. Mr. Kennedy does not take the oath. Mr. Kennedy is not a member of this legislature.
Incident in the House of Delegates in the town of Annapolis, Maryland, in the year 1818. But an incident that was not closed. It could not be closed. For a man called Jefferson had said, "We are not to expect to be translated from despotism to liberty in a feather bed." Jefferson said it, and Thomas Kennedy was of the party of Jefferson. The incident was not closed. And now Thomas Kennedy received a visitor.
The name is Sullivan, Mr. Kennedy. Jeremiah T. Sullivan.
And what can I do for you, sir?
Go back to the House of Delegates and take the oath.
Mr. Sullivan, I don't know why you came. I don't know who sent you. But I'll trouble you to mind your own business.
Spoken like a man. A fine temper like that, and you're not Irish. What a pity. You ask me to mind my own business.
I do, Mr. Sullivan.
This is my business. It wasn't so many years ago a Catholic couldn't sit in the House of Delegates. Did you know that?
I know that. What do you think I'm trying to do?
Kennedy, in Maryland, just before the Revolution, a Catholic, because he was a Catholic, paid twice the land tax. A Catholic servant from Ireland paid a tax of 20 shillings. If a Catholic man died, the law said his children could be taken from the widow. You see, Mr. Kennedy, I'm minding my own business.
Well, it's not altogether clear, Mr. Sullivan.
I'm coming to the point. Why did it take so many years to change the law?
You tell me.
I'll do that. Because laws are written and changed in the legislature. You can't change a law when you don't sit in the legislature.
That's why you want me to take the oath.
That is why.
It's a good reason, Mr. Sullivan.
Think it over.
All right, Mr. Sullivan, I'll think it over.
I'll shake your hand now. One more thing.
Yes, Sullivan?
Kennedy. That's a fine name.
I thank you.
You're sure now?
Sure? Sure of what?
Was it Scotland you really came from and not Ireland?
Are you sure, Kennedy?
Proceed, Mr. Clerk.
Do you, Thomas Kennedy, solemnly swear, affirm that you will protect and defend the Constitution of the State of Maryland?
I do.
Upon the true faith of a Christian?
Upon the true faith of a Christian.
I congratulate you, Mr. Kennedy, on your good sense.
Mr. Speaker.
You have the floor.
I offer a resolution.
What is your resolution, Mr. Kennedy?
I offer a resolution calling for the appointment of a committee to consider placing all citizens on an equal footing in this state.
The gentleman from Washington County is entirely out of order.
If Mr. Kennedy does not like Maryland, let him return to Scotland.
The question is out of order.
Mr. Speaker, I ask you to put the resolution before the House.
Mr. Speaker, I move we adjourn.
I protest, sir. There is a question before the House. The motion to adjourn is out of order.
Mr. Kennedy, you are now in this body and entitled to your ignorance. I must inform you that a motion to adjourn is never out of order.
I rise on a point of special privilege.
What is your point, Mr. Breckinridge?
I confess to a sense of shame. Mr. Speaker, gentlemen of the House of Delegates, we may abuse Mr. Kennedy here, but we abuse ourselves more. This is the legislature of the people of Maryland. Mr. Kennedy's entitled to an honorable hearing. He's entitled to our courtesy. He's entitled to every privilege of this legislature. I appeal to your sense of decency.
Mr. Speaker, motion to adjourn.
The motion is to adjourn.
All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Only three for adjournment. Apparently, there's no need to call for the negative. The House of Delegates remains in session. Mr. Clerk, the roll call on the resolution.
The resolution carried. A first small step in a Maryland incident. A committee of three was appointed to report. On December 9, 1818, Thomas Kennedy rose before the House of Delegates.
Your committee introduces a bill entitled An Act to Extend to Those Professing the Jewish Religion the Same Rights and Privileges that are enjoyed by Christians.
Incident in the Maryland legislature, and an incident which was not closed. The bill was defeated. Yes, Jefferson was right. We are not to expect to be translated from despotism to liberty in a feather bed. During the session of the legislature in the following year, once again the bill was introduced, once again it was defeated. Kennedy and Breckinridge continued the work of the committee.
Mr. Kennedy, I believe you've already met Mr. Sullivan.
He's practically married to me, Mr. Breckinridge. And he can't forgive me because I'm not somebody else's wife.
Will you be seated, sir?
That I will.
Sullivan, Mr. Breckinridge tells me you're not happy over the bill I've introduced.
You're right there. I don't like it.
You're a hard man to please, Sullivan.
There's the Dublin blood in me.
I'm trying to remove the religious test. Sullivan, I thought that was what we both wanted.
It is, but your bill does not remove the religious test. It substitutes tolerance for intolerance.
Good Lord, and is there anything wrong with that?
There is.
How?
Tolerance is no virtue, Mr. Kennedy. A man tolerates the other fellow only when he thinks the other fellow is less than he. I think tolerance is a rotten word.
Yes, you have something there, Sullivan.
Look, man. The Maryland legislature can't give me permission to worship God as a Catholic. If they attempted to, I'd spit clean in their eye. They can't give Breckinridge here permission to worship as an Episcopalian. And they can't give my good friend Captain Reuben Etting permission to worship as a Jew. Because when did the Maryland legislature last speak to God?
Sullivan, you're absolutely right. What do you propose?
Take the word Jew from your bill. Put the word all in its place.
Breckinridge, do you agree?
You better go slow, Kennedy. You'll be attacked as irreligious.
I won't let them. Religion is in my bones. It's in the Declaration of Independence. It's in the American Constitution. Breckinridge, I'm a religious man. Government without the spirit of religion is like a bird without wings. But by heaven, we're not going to allow the legislature to make a political club out of religion.
Kennedy, now don't deceive a believing man. Are you sure it's Scotland you come from?
Thomas Kennedy amended his bill. For the third time, the bill came before the House of Delegates. And for the third time, the bill was defeated. Then Thomas Kennedy returned to Washington County to stand for re-election. And now he was a marked man.
I tell you, Tom Kennedy wants to strike from our laws the last protection of true religion. Look here. This bill is the spawn of the devil. That's what it is. Where does he come from? Scotland. A country flooded with infidels. But I'll tell you where he's not going. He's not going back to the legislature.
Good for you, Galloway. Give them both barrels.
I tell the people of Washington County, I tell you, Tom Kennedy is half Jew and the other half ain't Christian. Shut up, Galloway.
Who said that?
Oh, shucks. I don't mind that he's Kennedy's man. And what do you expect from a pig but a grunt?
He's not my man, Galloway.
Not your man.
I don't need anyone to talk for me. Mr. Gabby, you can put down that shotgun. I've got no weapons on me. You too, Joe Merrick. Seems to me our state has been advancing backwards for a long time. We seem to get one day older and 2 days worse.
Kennedy, I don't like you and I don't like your bill.
Mr. Galloway, that's your inalienable right as an American.
Now get up.
I'll say what I have to first.
I said get up.
Let him talk, Galloway.
Thank you. I want you to understand that I'm against the religious test because I'm an American. That fact reminds me that I'm a Protestant and that another man is a Catholic. That test divides us. That test justifies the Massachusetts Puritans who drove out the Quakers. That test justifies the Virginia bigots who drove out the Catholics.
Are you done, Mr. Kennedy?
No, I'm not done. Galloway, go home and pick up your Bible and show me one word in it that justifies the proscription of any man because of his religious sentiment.
Don't tell me to read the Bible, Kennedy.
Galloway, at Christmas time, you say goodwill to men. To what men? Galloway, it's either to all men or to no men.
Kennedy, now we've heard enough.
No, you haven't. You can't take a religion which flames with justice and make it an excuse for bigotry. You can't use it to cover the narrowness of your own heart. All right, Galloway, it's your meeting.
Washington County voted, and Thomas Kennedy was defeated for re-election. But in the other counties of Maryland, there were also changes. From Frederick County and Montgomery, from Carroll and Prince George counties, from Calvert and St. Mary's and Dorchester counties, there were new faces in the House of Delegates. For 1 year, Thomas Kennedy remained at home and brought the fight to his own constituency.
Kennedy, there's a new speaker in the House. They say he wants you back.
I'll be back. Come on, we've got work. I read to you from the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof.
Kennedy, what's Jefferson got to do with it?
Listen to this. Our civil rights have no dependence on our religious professions any more than our opinions in physics or geometry. People of Washington County, we've got to prove to the whole world that it's wrong for men to have only enough religion to hate.
The citizens of Washington County returned Thomas Kennedy to the Maryland legislature. Once again, he stood before the speaker's table in the House of Delegates.
I speak as an American citizen. I beg leave only to remind this House that the honors of office in our republic are not assumed, but conferred. Not usurped, but bestowed by popular confidence. I say to you that to disqualify any class of citizens is for the people to disqualify themselves. This same principle of disqualification stains nations, tramples the charities of life, places arms in the hands of men for bloody war.
Mr. Kennedy, it is not expedient to make innovations in the Constitution of Maryland.
Sir, that is the language of prejudice. The American people were an innovation. The sun that shines each day is each day's innovation.
I'm not convinced. Mr. Speaker, I say to the gentleman from Washington County that no man has a right to complain of being excluded from office if he does not conform to the prevailing religious sentiment of the state.
Answer that, Kennedy.
I do. What sort of God do you worship? Is the God you worship a fool? Does the smell of your persecution rise up to him as incense? I tell you again, opinion should be answered by opinion. Religion is the opinion of a man's conscience. The interposition of the state in matters of opinion is improper.
All right, Kennedy. Suppose we do exercise compulsion. It's mild enough. We don't molest anyone.
It's not the degree of compulsion, sir, which renders it improper. The act of interposing your authority is improper. Religion is a matter between man and his God. Gentlemen, this is the right of conscience, which is so badly understood throughout the world, and which I regret to say is so little understood here.
Gentlemen, this debate has taken up too much of the legislature's time.
Sir, the only way to close the debate is to vote for the bill.
Call the question, Mr. Speaker.
Gentlemen, the bill before the House of Delegates is to amend the Constitution by extending to all the citizens of Maryland the same civil rights and religious privileges that are enjoyed by all under the Constitution of the United States. Mr. Clerk, you may proceed with the roll call. Gentlemen, the question, shall we pass the bill?
Harris?
No.
Gant?
No.
Garner?
No.
Grubb?
No.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Hewlett?
No.
Kilgore?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Banning?
No.
Hawkins?
Yes.
Welsh?
Yes.
Milliard?
Yes.
Wicks?
Yes.
Estep?
Yes.
Brooke?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Chapman?
Yes.
Sims?
Yes.
Rogerson?
Yes.
February 26, 1826. Thomas Kennedy's bill, carried by the Maryland House of Delegates. Incident in the history of the American people. But the incident is not closed. The incident never closes. Every generation must make its own fight for freedom. Every generation, in every age.
Lord, who shall dwell in thy tabernacle? Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Even he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord.
A prayer of thanksgiving. Blessed art thou, O Lord, who hast kept us in life and sustained us unto this day. Yes, a prayer of thanksgiving. If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in introducing the Honorable John Fine, one of the founders of the Crusade for Freedom and the Governor of Pennsylvania. Governor Fine.
I am very happy to participate in the Eternal Light program, which is doing such a magnificent job in furthering the high ideals of religious freedom and understanding among peoples. Ours is a glorious heritage. Our forefathers planned well, and they built on solid ground. The events of 175 years since the signing of the Declaration of Independence, have attested to their wisdom and foresight. For out of the materials they supplied has been molded our American way of life based upon the freedom of the individual and the essential dignity of man. This is the most crucial time in our history. Peace, freedom from enslavement, and in fact, the very salvation of civilization are at stake in the turmoil and strife now prevalent in the world. What we do, or what we fail to do, will determine the destinies of our nation, and indeed, of all mankind. in a war of ideologies against lusting hordes of godless people, such as we are now engaged in, economic might and military power alone are not sufficient. We need once again the fierce faith of the Crusades. We must maintain a moral and spiritual commitment of life to the great concept that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Only in that way can we maintain our position of leadership among free men everywhere and aid their undying quest for the high ideals of justice, equality, and freedom. As governor of Pennsylvania, I solemnly join in this crusade for freedom. I urge every American to cease bargaining with their faith and to seek today a rebirth of freedom with full force and vigor.
Thank you, Governor Fine. Our Eternal Light drama today, Thomas Kennedy, was written by Morton Wishengrad. Featured in the cast were Ian McAllister as Thomas Kennedy and Norman Rose as the narrator. The orchestral music was composed by Morris Mimorski and conducted by Milton Catons. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. The production was under the direction of Edward King. This is Mel Brand speaking. Free time to present the Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.